This morning by Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move. Also by First Baptist Church and by Tall Grass Motors. Community Connection coming up with Family Crisis and Counseling Center in just a moment.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
And AM 1400 K1 and joined by Increase. We're bombarded with messages of goodwill and peace on earth, and sometimes that gets on people's nerves.
Yeah, it sure does. It's definitely a stressful time of year.
Yeah, and I think if you are a personality type that already, I'll say, has domestic violence type issues, then doesn't that just aggravate the problem a little bit?
Yeah, holidays definitely do. There's the stress of money, the stress of being home together, not used to having all that time. Mm-hmm. Kids are out of school, so of course they're going to be cooped up, especially with it being cold now.
Yep. And cold weather, I don't care if you're, Florida to Maine or wherever across the country, winter weather tends to jam us all in the house a little bit more.
Sure does.
Yep. And that means that everybody gets a little bit more on everybody else's nerves just a little bit more just because you're not used to it.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of the things that we've talked about in the past you do provide some coping mechanisms for youngsters not to get on parents' nerves and for parents not to overreact because the youngsters are maybe playing the video game a little too loud or got the TV going or just, trying to work off some excess energy and they can't run around outside.
Yeah, that's part of my program is we teach the kids coping skills to not only just deal with the abuse that they see at home, but also kind of deal with the stress and tension that may occur. Kids tend to see, they tend to be able to recognize when tensions are rising. Mm-hmm. The same way the victim will also see the tensions rising, and the kids can kind of feed off of that. But unfortunately, kids don't have the same coping mechanisms as adults do, so they'll either withdraw or act out, and so that causes even more tension, which causes the more conflict, kind of makes that cycle keep going.
Yep. So, and that means so then what they're doing to cope with what they see and observe sometimes just feeds on more for the other party.
Yeah, it does, because they just don't know how to respond and express their emotions, so they just act and.
And that makes it rougher for the adult. Again, maybe it's party number one that tends to get a little bit violent, and that makes party number two just that much more trying to appease that individual and try to be mm-hmm. more compliant because the kids can't.
Yeah, and sometimes that makes the victim then kind of take almost on that perpetrator role with the kids because she's trying to make them mind and so that way there's going to be less conflict, and so a lot of times the woman will take the brunt of it so the kids don't have to take it. But then sometimes then she'll take it out on the kids, and so the cycle just kind of perpetuates.
Yeah, but would you kids please shut up, because otherwise somebody else is going to get mad at me.
Exactly.
And that just, so then you've got two people trying to tell the kids to be quiet, and mm-hmm. they are just being kids.
Yeah, definitely.
When you spend some time with the youngsters, and I know you do because you're out in the schools, you're out talking to kids, are there things that they can learn to kind of, deal with what's going on in the house, or are they just kind of recipients of whatever happens?
The kids can learn. We have our prevention specialist who goes out, and she'll teach the kids kind of like what the cycle looks like, and teach them coping skills as well. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing to teach the kids is how to cope with this abuse and violence that they witness. how to keep themselves safe. So when they see something happening, what they can do to make sure they don't get hurt. Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, just makes that whole pressure cooker environment just that much more volatile when they're trying to get going on. It's the abuser themselves, typically himself, but it doesn't have to be, that really needs to get plugged into what you can offer.
Yeah, it helps the relationship and the family dynamics. The abuser can get that help as well, but they don't see a problem with their behavior. Mm-hmm. Usually they don't see a problem until the court steps in and says, okay, this is what you have to do. And even then, they still only comply with what they have to do, but they don't always make that change. Mm-hmm. So it's best that the victim goes out and gets services as well, which is completely free. Mm-hmm. So that they can recognize the abuse, recognize the warning signs, and then they can make an educated decision on what's best for them and their family, if staying with the abuser is best or leaving is best.
And I know that, and we've all heard the stories, but typically it takes a certain number of incidents before the victim is ready to pack up family and have a plan ready to go the next time this happens, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, the average is about 7. Mm-hmm. It usually takes about that long, but some people it takes just one time, mm-hmm. and other people it takes, you know, 14, 20, I mean, I've seen people come in that had relationships that were 25, 30 years in length. Mm-hmm. And it took them until the very end to finally realize this is not healthy. This is not what it's supposed to look like.
Well, and sometimes if they've got a plan, and I know that we've talked about this in the past, if they're trying to save up enough money of a go account someplace, that whether they're to, you know, keeping the change in a jar or dollar bills in an envelope in mm-hmm. a desk in a drawer someplace, just to be able to get out the next time it happens, and then the abuser finds out about that, that just complicates the problem that much more.
Yeah, it does. And sometimes when you talk with the victim and have them do some safety planning like that, they need to put it in a safe place. Maybe give it to a friend. If they have a job, keep it at work. Mm-hmm. maybe they could open a bank account but have it sent to their work address. There's just so many things that they could do that could help them find a way to get out without him knowing. Mm-hmm. But they could also call crisis lines and, you know, worst comes worst, they call the police and have them help them get out.
Those police reports can be important.
Yes, the police reports will help document a pattern of abuse. So even if you just make a report but don't do anything with it, eventually once you decide to go and file for a protective order, you know, if you're in the intimate partner violence, you don't have to have the police reports, but it can always benefit you in the end, especially if there's kids involved.
Mm-hmm. And so part of it is if I know what you do is you stand beside the victim when they need to go to court. But again, it's nice if that documentation is there somewhere along the line.
Yeah, usually it is. It's pretty helpful.
Are there other things that can help, keeping a record of text messages or other things that kind of go along with mm-hmm. that type of situation?
Yeah, it is always encouraged that if they can maybe find a way to print off the text messages. That way if something happens, if the phone gets broke or things get deleted, mm-hmm. they will have a copy. Maybe email the stuff to themselves or email it to a friend. Just find a way to keep that record. Sometimes you can screenshot the mm-hmm. text messages and send them to someone that way.
And whatever works on your particular device, you know, sometimes you can print them off, but frequently it's more like you're going to have to screenshot those and save them as pictures and then be able to print or produce those pictures somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
What is it that the holiday season, that the additional parties or whatever it is that complicates things for the abuser? What triggers their action that maybe we can kind of help them along the way?
Well, for the abuse is all about power and control. And sometimes at Christmas time, there's the stress of financial issues. If you're, you know, lower income and maybe neither one of you bringing in enough money, the stress of having to get Christmas presents for the family, the stress of maybe getting that special Christmas meal, the whole fact that it's cold outside and the heat has to be turned up high so you're not freezing to death, all that stuff adds into the stresses, but he's not in control because he can't control these circumstances around him. And so he's got to find something to control.
And that's what, and we talked about that it is frequently a control type individual, a power type individual that is getting trying to control whatever it is they can control, because nobody can control everything. So,
yeah, they sure try to control everything, but and that's what leads to the behaviors, because they have to have that control. They may feel out of control in one area, so they gotta find control in this area. Maybe they don't. You know, they don't like how she cooked the meal. Well, it's not in their control how she cooked the meal, so now I got to find a way to make that my control.
Mm-hmm.
That if I don't respond this way, she's not going to do as I want. The kids are too noisy, they're too messy, or, you know, whatever. They're going to find a reason to justify it no matter what.
Right.
But just the holiday time causes those tensions to just spike.
Okay, we will continue our time with Melissa Ruprecht and maybe recommend some solutions you can find through Family Crisis and Counseling Center when we continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and again talking with Melissa Ruprecht from Family Crisis and Counseling Center. And when violence happens, when a person reaches to the point that they say, I'm getting out of here, you have a shelter ready to go.
Well, we have a shelter ready, but there's always that chance that it may be full.
Mm-hmm.
It goes in cycles. We can never predict really when it's going to be full. So the only thing they can do is call and see if our shelter has availability. If our shelter is not available, then we can recommend them to another shelter close by.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes though, they'll call us and say, well, I want a shelter, but if I stay here in town, he's going to find me.
Mm-hmm.
Our shelter is confidential, but sometimes the abusers just happen to know where it's at. Either they followed someone there or a previous relationship, whatever the reason.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we'll just refer them out to other places around.
You mean you don't move the shelter every year? I don't understand that.
No. Well, you kind of can't. But
I say it with a smile on my face. I know you can't.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things that I can see how once the location is compromised, then the offender knows, and it's tough.
Yeah.
When a person is ready to go, or even if they, you know, have already made that call and say, next time this happens, I need to go, will you be able to accommodate me? That help, that phone call helps then.
Well, it kind of does, because it gives them information
mm-hmm.
about what to expect next time they call. But we can't hold beds
mm-hmm.
because there are times we'll get like 5-6 people calling for shelter in one day. So let's say the last phone call would have made it full. Well, if we held that bed and they didn't show up,
then you're holding a bed for nobody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we give them they have so many hours to get here. And then after a certain time, they'd have to call and see if there's availability still.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite a bit of hours. It's enough time for them to be able to get out of where they're at and get to our location. But at the same time, not too long of a period.
Then they should have some kind of an alternate plan, a neighbor, a friend, mm-hmm. a family member, someplace else that they can go, even if the individual knows where they're going, at least it's out of their house.
Sometimes that happens. There are some people that are so isolated mm-hmm. that they have absolutely nobody. I've had calls before where they're like, I don't even know how to get anywhere because he took the keys to the car. I have absolutely no money, so I can't take the bus. So they're just kind of, and they don't know the neighbors because they weren't allowed to know the neighbors. Mm-hmm. So then they get stuck in that position. It's like, well, okay, how do I go and even get shelter?
So again, the phone number, if they need shelter, if they need assistance right away, you've got somebody that's answering that phone that at least can give them some information. What's the phone number?
918-336-1188.
And I know that's, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and if it's between the office hours of 9 and 5, Monday through Friday, someone, our receptionist will answer and then pass you through to an available advocate. If there's no available advocate, they'll leave a message for the advocate, and as soon as they become available, they'll get that and call you back. If it's after hours, that number can roll over to our crisis line, which I don't have the crisis line number memorized, but we do have it. But you can call the office number, and it goes directly to the crisis line.
Okay.
So
there you go. Family Crisis and Counseling Center, they are available and ready to help you. They're a phone call away. Offices are just down the street on Frank Phillips. So stop by during office hours and pick up some information or talk confidentially to someone that can give you some assistance at that time as well. It's a busy time of year for your office, but again, you're in the business of helping people. Thank you so much, Melissa.
You're welcome.
That's our Community Connection on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. Winter weather advisory in effect from noon Saturday through midnight on Saturday. We'll check the forecast coming up in just a bit on K1.
Guys, wouldn't your wife or girlfriend love it if you treated her to the very best this Christmas? Well, you can.